Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glenn Martin, and Gareth Martin today.
Hello.
Right, well, qualifying today at Sochi. Sochi, the only track on the calendar that puts you to sleep. But today, it was the complete opposite. It just goes to show what a wee bit of rain can do, you know? The only thing Bernie ever actually did right was suggest that we have sprinklers on the track. Now, with
that might still come.
Well, yeah, we can't even rule it out. With the rain-affected sessions in the morning, we didn't get a third practice for the teams, but they did the track was dry enough for them to go out in inters and actually get the qualifying done in the afternoon. So at least we got a qualifying. We got a grid that was actually based on pace. It was a pretty interesting qualifying. It was a good qualifying because when we started, there was that question mark over at what point will slicks become available? And unfortunately, it didn't come through to Q3, but we were getting close in places. Let's start at the back and work our way forward. Max had obviously the engine penalty, starts in 20th, came out, went back in, didn't set a time. We've got Mazepin, the homeboy, 19th. We've got Gio in 18th, had a wee spin on the inters, which didn't help him. Mick in 17th and Kimi in 16th. Now, all the running in Q1 was on inters. Max at the back, we know why he's at the back. It wasn't a pure qualifying, but it's really just all the same usual suspects.
Week in and week out, it's the same ones. But again, I suppose, you don't know what the Haas is going to be like. I mean, this year it's a tugboat. I would still like to see what Mick Schumacher can do.
And you're right, we don't want to pick on them in the sense that it's probably all car-related as opposed to driving skill-related. As we came into Q2, we were still stuck in the inters, which does also mean that the starting grid, they will be allowed to start on whatever tyres they want. They're no tied down to having to start in inters when it's a dry track and so on. So they can start on softs, mediums or hards. The best optimum sort of pace here, the tyres that were actually on are C3, C4, and C5, the softest compounds. A medium and hard with one stop is probably the optimum. However, we've seen it before where we've had some two stops where they've started on softs, went to mediums and hards, or some variation on that. So a two stop is also a workable strategy. I always like this because it isn't until we get to the grid and they finally take off the things and we see what tyres have actually got on. And I think actually every race we actually go to, it shouldn't be a case of what tyres you've set Q2 in. It should be a case of, didn't he tell us? Just reveal when everybody's on the grid.
I would love to see it go back to that.
I'm surprised that Liberty Media hasn't already went, that's actually no bad idea, and just done it already, because they're happy to change everything else to try and get a better show, and I think that would be it.
You see it on the weekends where we have the sprint races, where, the day that they take off the tyre covers, sitting on the grid, that's the first that you find out who's on what tyre. Take it for there, get back to that.
Because we saw it in Monza. Yeah, that's it. We saw it in Monza where the two Mercs wound up on both in hard tyres. Bottas was a kind of a no-brainer, but the fact that Hamilton did that, and again, it was like, we'll see what they've done. This could be interesting, but we'll hopefully get to that point in the future. Now, in Q2, we lost Leclerc and Latifi. Both of them set no times because they're having to take penalties for engines. Leclerc is going to the back. He's got the new engine. Sainz hasn't. So Leclerc, although he qualified 15th, will go back to 19th. Latifi, 14th, he'll also go back to 18th, and it'll shuffle the guys behind him up two places. And then we've got Wartoni. I don't think this is a track he's actually been to. He's maybe actually driven it in F2, I would suspect, because it is on the F2 calendar. He's in 13th, and Gasly right next to him. Gasly had a bit of a sort of a handshake and hand-waving thing going on with Latifi.
He wasn't a happy bunny.
No, not at all. I mean, it wasn't even just past him. I think the whole way round for another lap, Gasly was absolutely fizzing in the car. Vettel just missed it.
He sounded so disappointed when he got told, you're in 11 and here's the time gap. It was tiny.
Disappointment for Gasly is everybody was on inters and 12th. Isn't it where we expect him to be? We expect him to be up in that sort of 4th, 5th and 6th because that's where he's been qualifying all season. But I think with these wet conditions, the cars that don't handle well, it really shows up the
I think
the,
it's
the
fair
problems.
To say, though, this weekend, when you look at the grid, the weather's really played into it because the grid is really quite mixed up. It could be good for the race.
I mean, I would take this every weekend, honestly. If these cars next season get to a point where we can talk about a top 10, which we're just about to, that is this mixed up, it'll be great, and especially if it's not through mistakes and so on and so forth.
Yes.
Because this is down to the weather probably more than anything else, where people have wound up because they can perform really well in wet conditions or drying conditions on softs. Q3, we had to start off on inters for most of them, and I think everybody, although there was a drying line, everybody was out there on intermediates for the first runs. And unfortunately, at the point when they then came back in, Hamilton lamps it into the pit wall, takes off one half of the front wing, tries to reverse back, does maybe a bit more damage to the car at the back. But it caused a bit of a problem for him getting back to do his second run. Meanwhile, we've got Russell comes in, and really that was a roll of the dice for Williams. Got 6 minutes left. Russell comes in, and he was the first to put the softs on what was... You could see it was still a wet track. There was a drying line, but it was a brave shout. It really was.
I think it was at that moment, though. It was you had to either go for it or go home. Yeah.
We'll talk about Russell's performance, actually, once we get down to that. First of all, Ocon in 10th. I mean, an all right place for them to qualify. It's been weird. He's kind of qualifying in that area. Perez in 9th. He did say that they put them onto the slicks maybe one lap too late. And the thing was, if these guys didn't get out on the slicks and put in, I think, 2 laps to heat up the tyres, they weren't doing anything. And when we get to Hamilton, we'll talk about that as well. Stroll in 8th. Performing a wee bit better than Vettel. At least he's into the top 10. Not a bad situation for the Aston Martins. We glimmer of them getting better in places, but how much it's weather affected.
It seems to swing back and forward for the Aston Martins. So it goes for, you know, Vettel performs well, Stroll performs well, Vettel, and it's back and forward. So that I think that the car's in a good place.
Do you think that the problem this season with Aston Martin is that they've done a Haas as such? They have pushed everything to 22 because, let's be honest, that's when they can make a real step forward. And the aero rules kind of screwed them a bit. And instead, he actually thrown resources at them, like what Mercedes are having to do because they're in a title battle. It's maybe a case of that they're keeping their powder dry for next season. And these guys, Vettel and Stroll, are just doing the best they can with a relatively poorly developed car for this year.
Probably, yeah.
Bottas came in 7th, Gareth. I think he had a because Hamilton had kind of taken up the space in the pits, when Bottas wanted to come in and get onto his soft tyres, Hamilton was in the pit getting a new wing and new tyres on. So it kind of, Hamilton basically screwed the both of them. But this was the thing. Bottas and Hamilton wound up in 4th. He did spin on what would have been his fastest lap or his hot lap. I don't think he was going to actually put it on pole. However, the possibility was still there, but they hadn't got the warm-up in the tyres. He has spin, Bottas's position, Hamilton in 4th. Not the best way they wanted to finish this weekend, going into what will be the race on Sunday.
They had the opportunity. You know, Max is starting right at the very back, and I think that was kind of the hope for Hamilton was that, you know, get pole, get in front, get a good gap, and off you pop, open up, and get back into the lead of the championship. And it's not quite worked out. And I mean, fair enough, he's only 4th. But again, it's that, you know, making silly mistakes like, you know, hitting the pit wall.
Yeah.
Derek phoned me and he told me, he has it on good authority, that actually it was Max that caused it. And they're going to the stewards. Yeah. So Max may have to start 30th.
Well, I mean, he was probably out there with soapy liquid or something, squishing it down just at the pit entry. I think this weekend, because in FP1, FP2, the Mercs were actually showing good pace, topping the timesheets, and maybe today with the wet weather, it's put maybe just a wee bit too much pressure on them. And really, they don't have to push themselves that hard. I think actually those cars, if they just take, as it has been for the past 4 or 5 years, if they just take their time and just focus on, you know what, we're just doing a job as opposed to, we need to get pole position here.
Race that time.
It'll all work out for them. And today I felt that they maybe pushed it a wee bit too far. And again, Hamilton getting onto those tyres, because he nerfed the wall, it put them on the back foot. And it did actually show in those last few minutes, I think actually it was in Hamilton's head. You know, Hamilton's the one that's talking about Max's, he's the one that's obviously struggling for the championship. But I think we saw this when he was up against Rosberg. There's something in Hamilton that just ticks over into, not so much panic, but it just brings in these wee mistakes that we've seen this season that we haven't seen since Rosberg.
I mentioned before that Hamilton, as a driver, great, does really well when he's leading and there's no real challenge there. But any year that we've seen a bit of a challenge to him. His approach changes slightly. I felt that this year with Max really being, and it's the first time that they've had a challenger from outside their own team. He just seems a bit different. His demeanour's slightly different. I might be talking nonsense, but it comes across that way.
I would agree with you in the sense that he's probably made more mistakes, but I guess any time you're obviously further back and you're having to race through the pack, because Mike's coming through the back there, the banana skin coming through for 20th isn't that he's got, obviously, the car's going to do the job for him, but he could trip up over someone. And unless he takes a mature approach to it, and it's damage limitation for him starting in 20th, they're getting this new engine into the car, but the damage limitation means that when he does come up behind something like a Mick Schumacher or a Latifi or Wartoni, then he push it to the point that you're putting so much pressure on them. Yeah, get past them, but do it in the right place, and then he trip up over them.
It's not their fight to fight.
Exactly.
So.
But they're not going to jump out of the way. I don't think, the AlphaTauris will jump out of the way. But, I mean, even for Max, I mean, let's go through the rest of the top 10. But, I mean, Bottas, if Bottas is still kicking about between 7th and 10th, when Max gets to him, that's going to be a roadblock. They're going to have to maybe bring him in on strategy or try something there. Alonso hasn't got to let him pass. Ricciardo, there's so many names in that top 10. Or even if you talk about Vettel, okay, Gasly and Tony, you can't. But even Leclerc, Leclerc's got a new engine in that Ferrari and it's going to be up to pace. In 19th, he'll be trying to do the exact same thing as Max and maybe they can follow each other through, but there is potential for him to trip up over someone like Leclerc, just try to get through the field. And if it's damage limitation and Hamilton does finish, even if Hamilton's just on the podium, it's still a big swing in the championship. I do feel that Merck have got the momentum back a bit. Although they didn't win at Monza, I felt that in the practice sessions and even what would have been the race, although it was only half the race for Hamilton, but between Bottas' strong performance and what we could see that Hamilton was going to do, I feel that Merck have maybe done something to the engine or that they've gotten a wee step forward or maybe the team's just got its act together in some other position. But I think Merck have just gotten a wee bit stronger. We were talking percentages here, you know, it's maybe they're 1% better than Red Bull at the moment. They've improved by 2% because that's what it's got to come down to.
I think possibly in the team, it's odd though because Hamilton's had a humdinger a weekend with taking out your jack man, hitting the pit wall, reversing it into the wall. Merck is now kind of maybe getting their act together. They've maybe now refocused back to going, actually, do you know what? We need to focus on the car again this year, because there was a lot of times this year so far that went, we're not developing the car. And then all of a sudden, there's a development boost to the car that nobody's really talking about, but well, it's there.
Toto did say, and it was in the press, that they had probably the last set of upgrades was at Silverstone, but then they're working on improving so that the car works with those upgrades. But I think the other thing is, we've got to keep in mind that we've watched, obviously, Hamilton's. We've watched probably Hamilton's first race in Formula One, and we've watched every single race all the way through, apart from maybe the odd one where you've been on holiday or you've not been able to get access to a TV. So you've maybe missed the odd race, but on the whole, you've probably watched between 90 and 95% of Hamilton's full races. He's driving, we've watched the weekends, we've watched qualifying, and you get the feel for these guys. So when a driver's off, even if it's just a small amount, even although through the TV screen, we can see these things and we can pick up on them. And I think that's the same for commentators, press, etc. But
absolutely,
Hamilton's definitely feeling the pressure this season and it's cropping up. Look, we've got Bottas in 7th. Alonso, a great performance for him in 6th. We've got Daniel Ricciardo in 5th. Danny, I want to speak about, because obviously a great result at Monza. The feeling was that the car at Monza, low aero on the back, the imperfections in the car that Daniel's been struggling with, it meant that at Monza, the car was probably the most drivable for him out of the entire season. The concern was we would come here and he'd be back down in 13th. But it just goes to show he maybe has, he's maybe got rid of the yips. Maybe he's just got on top. It's maybe just triggered in his brain or he's stopped thinking about how he's driving and it's starting to become natural.
Success breeds confidence.
He's had
that result that he was desperately trying to get his hands on for the past 6 months, and then all of a sudden it landed in front of him. And they interviewed him this weekend, at the start of the weekend there, and it was like a different person. He's got that confidence about him that he knows that he's capable of doing it. and they would hear the car is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge boost for them and McLaren as a team. What I want to say, though, is because this session transitioned from inters to softs, I think any of these guys that were in the top 10, especially, say, for Alonso down to Norris, the top five or top six, what we saw was guys going out on the very edge of what those cars can do on slick tyres. Okay, it's the soft, and they're the softest, etc. But they had to get out there, get temperature in them, and it did not look easy. But they then put in this performance, and let's be honest, I mean, Norris knocked it out of the park, but I have to say, Ricciardo getting that in the fifth, considering the problems he's had this season so far, is a fantastic performance. Yeah. Hamilton in fourth, obviously we spoke about his woes, probably could have put on pole because he would have had the car if he'd got the tyres underneath him. Didn't manage that. Not so much damage limitation, but again, they've got to make hay while the sun's shining, because we can't guarantee, or Merck can't guarantee, that the advantage is still going to be by Hamilton when we go to the next race, you know. Russell in third, I don't know what to say. I mean, what a second half of the season Russell is having between Spa, the podium, second in qualifying. Today, those wet, drying conditions, he was first to pull the trigger. What does that say about him as a driver? Because the decision, I don't think, would have been the team's. It would have had to have been the drivers making this decision.
Yeah. He can drive. He can absolutely drive. But the thing is, we've known that. You know, when we seen him at the tail end of last year when he jumped in the car for Hamilton, he showed Bottas a clean pair of heels. You knew for a fact that this guy can drive a car. The only problem he's had so far is that the car he was in wouldn't drive. But, you know, even a car that's as non-compliant, is lacking in speed, it's lacking in downforce, but you put him in it and he still performs in it.
It's you know, when you see this result and you see Russell in third, part is like, oh, there must have been something that happened. But this is some pure pace. I'm excited for the race tomorrow because of this mixed up grid, but I don't want to turn around and say it's mixed up because of the weather. It is a bit, but I think actually once they got into softs in those last 6 minutes, we saw where the good drivers actually are falling.
Yeah, where the pace was.
We've got Sainz in second, which I think it backs up that as well. Because Sainz went to Ferrari and I think everybody thought, no, he's going there as Leclerc's wingman. Sainz didn't go there thinking that. And I think actually over the space of the season, Sainz has actually shown that, you know what, I'm here. Ferrari may pull team orders at some point in the future and say, no, well, Leclerc's got the longer contract. But I think he's making it harder and harder for Ferrari to turn around and actually make that choice.
Yeah, because the two of them have been fairly close, even in the races that they've not done that well. So it's interesting to see how well he's done jumping into that car. This is his first season, and actually he's performing and outperforming the existing driver.
The golden boy.
Yes.
Yeah. And
so, yeah, it's great to see, though.
He has the older engine. I think, actually, once we get into race pace, we might actually be able to see. Leclerc has already turned around and said, look, this engine, it's an upgrade, but it's not a huge upgrade. It's not the Ferrari fuel gate upgrade.
The FIA won't allow them to put that bit back on the car again.
Can you imagine the phone call, Ferrari to the FIA? Hello, we've got a new engine coming at Sochi. Oh, really? Right. And then the FIA are
sending The wee sneaky thing.
We've not done anything before in the past that could be deemed cheating. Why would you suspect? But look, Sainz in that performance, I think once race pace tomorrow, because we expected the rain today. It was a bit of a washout this morning. Tomorrow, gusty winds. But the chances of rain are down under 20% tomorrow. I think we'll probably have a dry race, maybe the odd shower.
Sounds like it.
But we're not going to be in super, like, onto the wet tyres. And I think we'll actually get a representative sort of performance. But it'll be interesting to see if we can actually compare Leclerc's times versus Sainz's times. They're going to be in completely different positions on the grid. That's so we're going to struggle to try and make that comparison. But I suppose Ferrari will get the information. And at some point, we've also got to keep in mind, Sainz at some point is probably going to have to take this penalty of taking an extra engine, and then he'll be back there. So, but again, make you while the sun's shining. And Sainz in second, I think, is a great performance for him. He wants to keep it there and have a position on the podium. too sure of reality. However, the people behind them, Russell, maybe won't go forward, but Hamilton, Ricciardo, Alonso, Bottas, with him up your backside, he's going to struggle to get to the end with that one.
The thing is, it's an odd... So we've got a mixed up grid.
Yeah.
It's an odd track because it's a terrible track. but it has a habit of causing carnage. So I think all these 90-degree bends do have a habit of causing... And then you've got that the big round one that's kind of halfway around the kind of bus stop thing. Yeah. Where we've seen a lot of cars kind of get taken off there. So it'll be interesting to see how they actually make their way through or how these guys stay at the front.
The one thing about the Sochi track is that the bends have got sausage curbs on them. They're quite aggressive, but they're also quite small. It's really don't designed...
don't mention them. Yeah, sausage curbs. No.
they are there, and I think we've seen them doing damage to some of the cars, even in FP1, FP2, because they're very aggressive, and it is stopping them. But likewise, if they're having a big moment into a bend, it does also mean that they can go the other side and they've got to rejoin safely and stuff. But unlike at Monza, where there was sausage curbs and then there was other curbs and then there was more curbs, I think here they can get away with a bit more, but those curbs are going to do them damage, so that they're still going to try and avoid them. The big thing is obviously down... Turn one's non-existent. We know that here at Sochi. It's into turn two. And also, I mean, we've mentioned it before we even came on, talking about the run down to what is turn two, effectively the first bend. Being in pole position isn't always the best. You're punching the hole for everybody behind you. But it's difficult to try and manufacture yourself into, well, I want to manufacture, I want to be third, when we're talking thousands of a second. It's impossible to turn around and try and do that. We've got Norris sitting on pole position here. I mean, we saw Ricciardo start in Monza. I don't think, if Norris gets a decent start...
It's a good start.
Maybe the Ferrari, I don't think Russell and the Williams is going to bother him. If anything, Hamilton for fourth is probably the one that's got the equipment to give him trouble into turn two. But he's got to get past Russell and Sainz first.
Position.
Yeah.
That's it. It very much depends on where he is on the track and what the other two are up to. Because if the other two get a reasonable start, as you say, I don't think the Williams is going to be a concern to too many of them. But especially Hamilton. We said this before, you know.
Yeah.
Russell, Hamilton, Russell.
Oh, God. Could you imagine if they come together in turn two?
Or is he going to play the wingman before he gets there?
Well, this is it, you know. But let's be honest. If we go back to Imola, Bottas and Russell, the conversations that were had after that, do you think Russell is going to hold up Hamilton in any way, shape or form? I don't think so. If anything, he will jump out of the way. He doesn't maybe have the car, but likewise, he's got to get out of his way. He knows he's not going to finish third. He's got to get out of the way. So then he only has to really deal with Sainz. And maybe at the end of the day, Hamilton can get past him sitting behind Norris. But Norris on pole position, the other thing I would say is the performance for Norris off season has been outstanding. Driver of the season.
Yes, absolutely.
And that was the case when we were only halfway through, let alone now into the second half. What can you say about Norris's performance today?
I think, see, when you see him driving a wet track and he was sliding the car around the corner and letting the back end pull out and letting it kind of pull him around, it was just some cracking driving for him. I think when you watch him kind of out of the car, he's not so jokey this year, a bit more serious, but he just seems that he enjoys his driving.
Norris is certainly the star of the season so far, and this is cementing his position. And I think McLaren are lucky to have him, but also the excitement and drama for next season, because we're still talking about, it'll probably be Red Bull Merck. I think next season, McLaren are proving that they can develop this car. With that Merck engine in the back, seated and worked and built round, next season, it's not going to be a two-constructor battle. And I think we could be up as high as maybe four if we're optimistic enough. Exactly. Because I think actually that type of setup would give you this kind of grid week in, week out, simply because, and without having to mess about with sprint races, just because all the cars are so close that we're talking thousands of a second makes the difference between first and eighth. Then we could be in a position we get this every week. The thing we spoke about there, obviously, turn one, turn two, that's where it's probably all going to sort of kick off. But once they're through that, how do you see the rest of the race panning out? Do you think maybe The guys for the back coming through are going to get up well into the top 10 podium positions, Leclerc and Max, or do you think they'll get stoned once they get into the top 10?
This seems to be the issue that we have now, though, with these, again, you'd say, but it comes back to these cars, where, you know, the first two or three laps, when you've got cold tyres, cold brakes, full tanks of fuel, you know, the cars, they'll race, they can overtake a bit better. Yeah. But after that, we've seen it week after week where lap 4 or 5 onwards to lap 50, you know, it kind of goes off the boil a wee bit. And we end up just watching cars following each other around for a safe distance so their tyres didn't degrade. Yeah. And So it's difficult to say, but I think we run the risk of having a better procession again with the odd stroke of genius.
Sochi, unfortunately, doesn't turn into a track that helps promote any of that. It basically plays into the fact that, again, okay, DRS, again, up to turn two, but that's the only space. Thereafter, they can't follow close enough, they can't get other overtakes done. And you're right, it becomes quite a bit of a snooze fest. The standings, actually, for the Drivers' Championship, we've got Max on 226, Hamilton 221, and then we drop to Bottas and Norris, 141, and Norris on 132. Constructors, Merck's still out in front of the Constructors, 362, Red Bull 344, McLaren 217 and Ferrari 201. So, I mean, we've still got that sort of Class A and Class B, but Merck must be feeling that they can stretch that this weekend. They have to, because the rest of the season. And then that battle for third, McLaren again, with the qualifying position these guys have got. Although Sainz is in the mix, I don't think McLaren are thinking, ooh, he's going to be an issue. I think they've got the better car. They've got the faster car, especially on race pace.
I think that's a big thing. It comes into how the car handles in the race itself. Qualifying is one thing, because we've seen a lot of these cars that perform really well within qualifying, but they get to the race and we've said it before, they only have one gear and it's reverse.
Right, folks, well, join us tomorrow very late after the race. I'll be able to see the race, but work commitments mean that the podcast will be super late and it'll be myself and Derek, because the only one that will stay up that late. And we'll hopefully have actually a good race, which would be fantastic. If Sochi can actually show us a cracking race, I'd be well impressed. Weather should at least keep it as dry, so we should get some. I just hope with that mixed up top 10, we get some decent racing from the people within there. Maybe Hamilton can punch through to first, but the battle for second into 10th, I think, should be pretty interesting. That's pretty much it. There's nothing else to say except it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye for me.
Take care. Stay safe. We'll speak to you tomorrow. This has been a Beardy Cat production for DNF1.